You don't remember? It's kind of short. But he came by, works, I think, on the barges. Ain't that right? Before the barge coming in? Out of New Orleans. And he is used to have church membership at the West Side Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi. And that's the church that Dr. James Crumpton used to pastor. And also had the Maranatha Baptist Missions there. And I know this man's mother and father. In fact, they're still members there at Westside. Spoke with his mother on the phone, on his cell phone in here one day. Come by to visit with us. And I believe he makes his residence in Paducah now. Is that right? And been listening to the radio station. And we appreciate him being by this morning. All right. I want to try to be mindful of time. And I'll be honest, I'm a little tired, but I'm going to try to be mindful of the time this morning, but I do want to try to preach, and I hope the Lord will meet with us and help Brother Hall this morning to get over the hump, get over the drag that we got. You know, it seems like when, and it's natural when there's like a death, like the death of my daddy, that we kind of get down just a little bit. That's a natural thing. You can't hardly avoid that. But I'm going to try to do the best that I can. And probably if I was preaching something along the lines of maybe heaven or salvation or his death or something like that, it might make it a little easier, really, to be quite honest, than what I'm preaching on this morning. But I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Solomon again this morning, Song of Solomon, please. And let's stand together, chapter number 6. And we've read through this so many times, we'll not take time today to read the entire chapter as we've been doing. But we will read the verse that we'll be dealing with. And Lord willing, I'm going to deal with a thought out of verse 11 in our service tonight. I want to try to put a little humor this morning, maybe kind of get a smile on some of our faces. That verse 11, he said he went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley. And you know that he likens the church to a garden. And I thought about preaching tonight on some nuts I've met in the house of God. But I won't be preaching on that. There's another thought there that I want to deal with in the evening hour. All right, verse number 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Now let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the Sunday school hour today. My, how it lifted my heart. Lord, when I heard the good news of God's grace just one more time, and Lord, how I've been stirred this morning in the church service by the fellowship with your people and the good songs that I've heard sang that has blessed me. Lord, I pray this morning for extra grace. You told Brother Paul that your grace was sufficient for him. And Lord, I trust it will be sufficient for Brother Hall in this morning hour. I pray that you'll bless every heart, save some old sinner. God, that you'd help us to see great light today. And not only see great light, but practice that which we see and understand. Help us to walk in truth this day. I'd ask you, Lord, to bless your people and trouble our hearts for our complacency where we are. And help us, I pray, to press on to higher planes, to that higher ground that I'm confident that you're trying to lead us to. I do ask you to give liberty to preach, and may every heart be submitted, Lord, to your will this morning. Rebuke the devil and his crowd. I pray, God, that you'd grant liberty to preach and worship, and we'll thank you and praise you in that blessed name that is above every name, even in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse number 10 again, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army of a banner, terrible as an army with banners? Now, if God will help me, I want to preach for a little while this morning on this thought, growing up God's way. Now, I didn't say just growing up, and I didn't say growing up my way. But I said growing up in God's way. And if we ever mature in the Lord and grow up as a strong, stalwart child of God, we're going to have to do it God's way. And I want to say there are no shortcuts in our maturity. We've got a lot of kids today that are 10 years old and they can't wait till they get 16. They want that driver's license and an automobile. And many of them try to grow up their way a little too soon. And I think that if we had it our way, we would mature in the Lord a little bit before our time. We'd try to get right before we'd been on the tree long enough to get receive the nutrients that we need to grow up and be mature. I tell you, church, a Christian is just like anything else. It takes a while for an apple tree to make an apple. And it takes a while for a berry bush to make a berry. There's a process that it must go through, and that fruit is not going to appear until its appointed time. It's got to have the right nutrients, the right weather, the right amount of sunshine, the right amount of rain. It's got to have everything in order to grow up. And, you know, God's people are the same way. Now, this morning, I want to look at the church in light of this fourth description that Solomon here gives unto her by these queens and concubines and by the daughters. She is said to be as terrible as an army with banners. Now, I want you to keep in mind that the verse here is revealing the development of a child of God in their Christian character and their conduct. For Solomon first says that the church is as one that looketh forth in the morning hour. That is, that first glimpse of His glory. That is to say, when that day star first arose in our heart. Man, can you remember how it was back then?
Yes.
Son, you were full of zeal and full of joy, and you couldn't wait to tell the world about the fact that God had saved you. I wonder where that joy has went to. Amen. Somebody said, well, we don't want to have zeal without knowledge. Well, it wouldn't hurt to have just a little bit of zeal this morning, whether we've got a whole lot of knowledge or not. It doesn't take a whole lot of knowledge, friend, to tell somebody that we were once blind and now we see. That's right, that we were dead and now we're alive. That we were full of hatred, but God filled us full of love. It doesn't take a whole lot of knowledge to tell somebody that we were once in a horrible pit of miry clay, and by the power and the marvelous grace of God, He lifted us out of that pit and bathed us in His blood, birthed us into the family of God, and made us His eternal child. It don't take much knowledge to say that. No. And then we learned about being as fair as the moon, that we're only reflections of the sun. All we are is a reflection of the grace of God. And that sinners will never see Him unless they see Him living in your eyes. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I sat in that upper room this morning. God began to deal with my heart about sin and the forgiveness of sin and what it contains in being forgiven of your sin, and how that we'll never have the power and the blessings of God until till that revealed sin in our life is dealt with and put under the blood of Christ. And I tell you, my friend, I just about got beside myself. I realized that it's down in that valley and becoming as fair as a moon that God will deal with us about that sin and show us our sin, and not only show us our sin, but will show us a way that we might have an escape from it in finding forgiveness of the Lord. And then we learned about as being as clear as the sun. And this morning I want to deal with this thing about being as terrible as an army with banners. I believe what Solomon is saying here, that God's people are a militant people. And when we're in full maturity, that we're not like some little child. That we have grown up and become like an army that's carrying that banner of the cross. That we're no longer in basic training. No, sir. That our training is behind us. And may I say basic and the second 8 weeks also. I'll never forget in 1964 when I went in the Army at Fort Knox, Kentucky. They said, we're going to put you in basic training. It was there I learned to belly crawl a little bit and learned a little bit about wounds and learned a little bit about hand-to-hand combat and how to fire a weapon and defend myself. The second 8 weeks, I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and learned how to set up an aiming circle and set a 105 howitzer piece in place and learned the kind of ammo that it fired and how to pull the lanyard on it and what kind of damage it would do when the lanyard was pulled. That was all just training. But my friend, there come a day in my life when Uncle Sam said, son, you're going to be able to put what you've learned into practice. And I want to say to you what Solomon is saying here, as an army, as terrible, not just an army, but as terrible as an army with banners, he's saying that it's time that you and I took, my friend, what we've learned in the training camp and put it into practice and become a soldier of the cross for the glory of Almighty God. And rather than being in basic training and the second aid, that we're carrying our banners and we're marching on to victory for the glory of God. I'm going to say it's time some of you got your head out of the sand and grew up. Let's grow up and grow up God's way. May I say the second thing very quickly in introduction. Not only was there training behind them, but there was unity within the ranks. They said, you're an army. You're an army with banners. Did you know that when Israel moved, my friend, that they moved like the workings of a smooth clock? Those tribes, four on every side, three on every side, my friend, and the Levites in the middle, when they moved out, they moved in absolute perfect clockwork. They all had their banner, and they all moved. I won't say there was not one person out of step. Do you know you get a man out of step while marching in formation? It'll foul up the entire squad or platoon or whoever it is. Son, you start out on that left foot and you march to the cadence that the sergeant calls. I want to say in the house of God, we ought to march out in cadence, my friend, and march to the step of our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody being in step and everybody being in unity and harmony. Our church will never go as a conquering force. Friend, while somebody is out of sorts, I want to say, bless God, I love you with all of my heart, from the bottom of my heart, but it's time that you got your little pet peeve or your little problem solved, whatever it might be. Get your lower lip, bless God, up off the ground and act like a man or a woman that has got some sort of grown-up maturity about him. Never in my life have I seen a generation of Baptists that want to act like children rather than acting like men and women. Friends, it is time that we grew up, put some harmony in the house of God, and as a church, we march to victory for His honor and His glory. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to win the war, the tug of war, when you're pulling in two different directions. And it's hard to get to where you're going when somebody's trying to march backwards. Huh? It's hard to reach Plaku Mountain. What was the name of it, Brother Steve? The mountain, you remember the name they called it? Quezon Mountain or what? Hard to get to the top of that mountain, son, when you're walking backwards. Oh, yes, sir. It's hard to reach. It's hard to reach figure X when somebody's marching out of step. And I tell you what it'll do. It'll trip up everybody else. I'll never forget when I went through the second aid at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. There was a big black dude. His name was Stroud. I've never forgotten it. Laverne Stroud. He's about 6'8". His legs was about as long as a giraffe. That's right. Now, I'm talking about a big dude. I seen him back down and pick up the rear end of a Volkswagen and stand straight up with it by himself. But Stroud had this problem. But when he had marched, he'd always clown around. I'm going to say, you can't clown in the ranks of the Army, buddy. I sneezed one time and caught it and cost me a whole bunch of push-ups and a whole lot of running. You can't clown in God's Army. And old Stroud would have, when they'd give a column left, he'd always want to turn that right foot. And I'm telling you, the guy next to him, he'd hook you in the shins and the ankles. And if you ain't right careful, that guy'd fall. And if he fell, three or four more would fall around it. I'm going to tell you the problem, my friend, when there's not unity in the ranks, is it'll cause somebody around you to fall because of your stupidity. And your childishness. Your childlike behavior. They had unity. I'm going to say they learned to follow the captain. Huh? They learned to follow the captain. Now, I'm not talking about Gary Hall. Although I will say that Paul said, be ye followers of me as I follow the Lord. If I'm not following Him, bless the Lord, come be man enough or woman enough to tell me that I'm out of line or out of sorts. But if I'm following God, I want to say, my friend, as an under-shepherd of this church, it is your God-given responsibility to fall in cadence and march to the tune of this church. As long as your name is on the church roll, you've got a responsibility to God to walk right and to be right in the house of God. It ain't going to get much better. You might as well smile. I want to say, hey, I'm simply saying it's time we learn to follow God. It's time we learn to follow God. I'm going to tell you what Elijah said. He said the same thing I'm saying to you right now. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? If it be right to follow Baal, then follow Baal. But if it's right to follow God, then follow God. I'm going to tell you, another man by the name of Joshua said, why don't you choose the day who you're going to serve? The gods on the other side of the river or the God of Israel? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Miss Hone, I made that mind up a long time ago. We're going with God. Huh? That's right. That's right. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow the captain. I'm going to say this too. I found out the other day that when God revealed Himself to certain men in the Bible, He revealed Himself in a way that's the way that the job that He had for them to do. He revealed Himself to Moses there in that bush, but He also revealed to Himself on that mountain where the law was given. And He always dealt with Moses around the obedience of the people. How obedient were they going to follow that law or be disobedient to that law? He revealed Himself to Joshua as the captain of the Lord's host, because Joshua was a warrior. Amen. And a leader of the people. And he said, I am the captain of the Lord's host. And the battles you fight, I'm going to be the one to give the marching orders. Everybody look right up here a minute. Do you know why? One reason AI fell to AI rather than the people of God. Somebody said it was because they can't see it. No, I don't think altogether. When God revealed Himself to Joshua and said, I want you to take the priests, march around that city, sound those trumpets, put your people around it, don't say a word for 7 days till I tell you and shout, and the wall fall down flat. God never told him to change his marching order when it come to Ai. He said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Here is your conquering method. Now go for it. Now, I'm going to tell you what we try to do, friend. We'll try to defeat our enemies, walking in the energy of our flesh and some other way rather than God's way, the Bible way, and pardon my expression, but the devil and his crowd are kicking our butts all over the battlefield today because we've tried to whip in some other way other than what God told us to do. Thank you, son. That's where we're living. I'll do it my way. Elvis did it his way and he's in hell. We'll grow up God's way or we won't grow up at all this morning. Amen. I'm going to say they had one purpose. And that was defeat the enemy. You got any other purpose in life other than defeating the enemy? And it's like I said in Sunday school. Old Brother David, Psalm 119, verse number 98, he said, Thy commandments, said thou, and thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemy. Amen. Said, for they are ever with me. Amen. I want to tell you something, friend. You better learn to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Amen. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall, I'm fixing to tell you. You know who your greatest enemy is? It's that enemy that's always with you. You carry your greatest enemy around everywhere you go. I'm talking about you, friend. And if you ain't wise, your flesh will overcome you and you'll succumb to the flesh and be very weak, child of God. You better learn to be wise according to that Bible or your enemies, my friend, will overcome you. Now, I'm telling you, the flesh is a worthy opponent. And if we don't learn to conquer the flesh and defeat that enemy in our life, we'll never have victory in God. I won't say number five. There's no retreat.
Amen.
There's no discharge from this war, friend.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'll find another church. Probably your problem is the same as a lot of them. You're lost.
Amen.
Hey, come on now. I'm just going to hit this. I love you. But I wouldn't be a man of God if I didn't hit it. Can I tell you what one of the major problems here is? It's got to be one of two things. There's only one thing that'll tie up a church and deprive people of joy that's truly saved, and that's sin in your life. Somebody said, oh, I'm telling you, there is one thing that will rob you of your joy. That is sin in your life somewhere. Disobedience to God. It is either sin in this camp, my friend, or somebody has fell under conviction and you are too proud to get on your face before God and confess to God and this church that you missed the boat and you're as lost as the devil is and on your way to hell. That's right, friend. Oh yeah, and you'll try to scratch everywhere that you can scratch to make folks think that's where you're itching. But I've been in this business long enough, Brother Doug, to realize that nobody ever scratches where they really itch. And I'm beginning to think there's some folks in here that what we got, Brother Steve, is a good old-fashioned case of the convicting power of God on some church members that's lost and going to hell, and they will not yield to the work of God and confess her up and get right that the joy bells might ring in heaven one more time. In fact, I'm satisfied that's it. I won't run that by you again. Sin in your life or being lost is the only thing in a Christian's life that ought to bring this kind of sorrowful spirit over the period of time that it's been in the house of God. We may be closer to real revival than what Brother Hall ever thought about. Son, it's been hard, Brother Wayne. It's been difficult, but I'm going to keep on plowing the ground. Thus God, as long as God will keep me behind that pulpit, I'm going to keep on applying because I'm confident that there's either sin in the lives of this church or some church members are lost and going to hell, and they will not, they refuse to get right with God about it.
And I'm going to tell you something else. I've got a pretty good idea who it is.
Amen.
I won't charge y'all nothing for that. Somebody said, "Oh, preachers can't know that." Honey, I'm going to tell you something. They might know a whole lot more than some of you think they do. I'm going to tell you what. When you preach around everything under the sun, I'm talking about everything that I preach. You preach around everything like I preach. And you just continually go down. I'm going to tell you, friend, it's either a pet sin, a little peeve sin, that folks is holding up real close to their heart, or the Holy Ghost has said, "Hey, son, hey, girl, remember that time that you made that little prayer and told folks you got in? You didn't get anything."
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's more, friend, than making a decision.
Right.
I'm so sick. Well, I made a decision for Christ. Well, let me ask you something. Did you ever get saved?
Amen.
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 You ever get in?
Amen.
Boy, it's getting quiet now.
Amen.
Refusing light, my friend, will tighten her down, and she's tight.
Amen.
Charging them for that. I want to say the root. We're talking about maturity. The root, and I've got to hurry. My time's almost gone. The root of maturity is the Word of God. What supplies your, what will make you mature is the Bible. Brother Peter said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As a tree draws nutrients from the soil, from the rain, my friend, a child of God will mature and grow from the root, their root in the Word of God, and that Word will supply them with the nutrients to grow on." Hey, have you been reading your Bible? Have you been reading it? Some of you don't even know the books of the Bible. The root of maturity is the Word. The fruit of maturity is righteousness. The Bible said in Philippians 1:9-11, He said, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and the praise of God." Now I'm here to tell you the fruit, my friend, of maturity is a righteous life. That is putting off those childish things and becoming a man. Hallelujah! I drove by a place the other day and it said "Big Boys Toys." I'm going to tell you, big boys ought to be living for God. Just to fool it on your big boy toys and start living for God. I'm sick and tired of a bunch of men that claim to be saved and all they know how to do is ride four-wheelers and play basketball. Oh yes, come on, children, and lay around in the woods or a pond bank somewhere with big boy's toys rather than getting a real man's toy, a copy of the Word of God, and being a man in your life. Neglecting everything that is real and playing around with everything that is going to vanish away someday. You could talk to my daddy right now. He could tell you real quickly where life's values are. Life's values are not in temporal things that bring worldly pleasure and enjoyment. Somebody said, "We got to have a little rest." I do too. You know what I do when I need a little rest? I'd be in Miss Hall, drive down to the mountains. I'll rent a motel room. We'll stay there for 2 or 3 days. Let her shop in a bookstore. I'll rest. We'll sit in the room, read books. I'd walk around a little bit, come back, eat a little bite, lay back down and rest. I go rest. I'm not interested in the amusement parks. Oh, there was a time when I was a child of God, I liked to go to Six Flags. I guarantee you, Texas has got more than six fags now.
Amen.
Amen. They got a lot of sick fags down there, too. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
I'm about fed up with that crowd.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Brother Hall, you ought to be kind to them. I've grown up.
Amen.
They're reprobate and going to hell. I've grown up."
Amen.
Had a fellow across the way over here come out there and sit out there in the parking lot and told me, said you ought to be kind to sodomites. I said, sir, you're sicker than they are. I'm talking about a Baptist minister. Talking about righteousness. Now I got to hurry. There's some absolutes about maturity. Some things you're going to do, you're going to have to do. More than you're going to have to establish a prayer life. Ephesians 5:17 said, pray without ceasing. Fellas, we're having prayer meetings on Saturday night. 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 Somebody said, preacher, it's just for such a short while. It's such a long way to go. I'm going to tell you what, friend. If I had an idea that just a few minutes of my prayer, I could drive 30 or 40 miles one way and pray a few minutes, and it would either get my life right, my family right, my children saved, my next door neighbor under the blood, I believe I'd be willing to buy the gas, pay to take that time to keep somebody out of hell. We need revival. The world around us, church, is dying and going to hell by the multiplied thousands. And we're not grown up. We've got our minds on other things rather than on the service of God and the work of God and the ministry of the church. Now, I'm just telling you that I'm 54 years old and I ain't got time to play no more. And I ain't playing no more. If you want to play, go get you a sandbox, son, and get in it. I ain't a playing no more. Amen. 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 Somebody said, if you stay here, you'll play. I've got news for you, Buckwheat. Bubba. I might go, but it'll be because He sent me, not you.
Amen.
You know why I know that? Because I know I'm in the book and I'm right. And if I'm right, God will see to it that I stay right and stay where I'm at. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, David stayed right. David stayed right and God exalted David.
Amen.
Behaved himself wisely.
Yes,
I intend to stay right with God.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Going to have to establish a prayer life. I'm going to say you're going to have to live in a spirit of praise.
Amen.
When was the last time this church praised the Lord a little bit?
Amen.
Somebody said, what do you mean? Hey, listen what the psalmist said. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
You want me to turn back to the last four psalms and read all of them? Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Wonder who we really sung this morning. Whew! Did we sing from the heart or obligation?
Amen.
When Brother George walks to the microphone, preacher, we are obligated to sing. When Brother George walks to the microphone, I sing because I love the one I'm singing about.
Amen.
You get a hold of that one?
Amen.
I sing because I'm happy.
Amen.
I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm singing today because I've been to Calvary, and I've met the love of the Lord Jesus, a man that always cares for my soul. Whether I'm in the valley or on the mountaintop, He's the other lover of my soul, and He gave His life, His love, and His light that I might get out of darkness. That's why I'm singing, I'm saved! I was stuck in the quicksand of sin in a horrible pit, and He brought me out of it and lifted me from the depths of quicksand where there was no standing to a solid rock. You get a hold of that? Hallelujah, sis. Yes! Pastor, if this church is the only place I sing. Huh?
Amen.
Sing around the house, I'm known, babe. Glory.
Amen.
Saved, Brother Steve. Saved. Heaven bound, going to glory.
Yes.
And He did it. I owe it all to Him.
That's right.
Oh, I wish I could not have to stand up and sing that song. I owe it all to Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, the lover of my soul.
Yeah.
He that left heaven's glory descended all the way, my friend, not only to earth, but beneath the earth in its heart,
yeah,
to the pit itself, and in paradise walked down the middle of paradise, and led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Oh, He's the lover of our souls.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Bless His name. We ought to praise Him.
Yeah.
That's right. Said in His praise, sang a new song.
Amen.
And His praise. Where at, Brother Psalmist? In the congregation.
Amen.
Of the saints. There's one of them. There's one of them. What'd you call it, Benny? There's one of them. Huh? A prepositional phrase.
Amen.
He listened to me. Ain't I smart? Of His saints. Are we His saints?
Amen.
Are you saved?
Yes,
have we congregated this morning?
Yes.
Why have we come this morning? Did we come to come and go with the mother grubs? Did we come to gossip? Did we come to show off the new dress we bought? Did we come to strut our stuff and let folks know that we bought a new automobile yesterday? Or did we come? Did we come because it's just a duty for me to be in church? Huh. Or did we come because He saved us?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we've come to sing what? His praises. Where at? In the congregation of the saints. I will sing and give praise. Hey, here's what Brother David said. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Hallelujah to God. We need to come to church with our hearts resolved. I'm talking about fixed, sun anchored down, that when we get there, come hell or high water, that we're going to sing the praises of the Lord that loved us and lifted us out, that washed us in His blood, that forgive us of all our iniquities. You know what forgiveness means? Somebody said, I've been forgiven of all my sin. You know what forgiveness means? When forgiven, we got the idea, Brother Steve, that when God forgives us, that then it's up to us in our power to do something about that sin. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You couldn't do something about your sin when you was lost. It had a hook in your nose, neighbor. And you danced to its tune. Now let me ask you something. Now that we're saved, where do we get the right to think that God will forgive us of our sin and then we can do something about it? Oh, the exceeding riches of His grace.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. In forgiveness, when God forgives sin, when He saved you and you were a sinner, He imputed righteousness. That is a judicial act. God just said, you are righteous. And hey, somebody said, well, I'm still not. He made you. Yes, you are. He made you righteous. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When He forgave, when a child of God confesses, when God forgives them of that sin,
amen,
along with that forgiveness, there is a power working in us that we just don't sin that sin no more.
Amen.
And we'll swell out our shoulders and say, I got victory over that one. We ain't got victory over do-diddly-jack-squat.
Amen.
If He don't get the victory, whew, woo, boss, we get a hold of that one today. Miss Sue, if we can get a hold of that one today. He is our victor. He is our captain. He is our overcomer. We're more than conquerors through the power of ourselves. Oh no, we're more than conquerors
through Him. I like it, hallelujah to God. I said more than conquerors, through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. For He always causes us to triumph in ourselves. Always causes us to triumph in our labors. Always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And I wish Cale was here. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We're running a race. All runs. Everybody runs, but only one is going to win the prize. So run that you might obtain not a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. Oh, yes, run. And run well. And keep your body in subjection. Grow in grace. Mature in grace. Keep that body under. Lest, my friend, when we preach to others, that we ourselves should become a castaway. Amen. I feel like a preacher this morning. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else you're going to have to do. You're going to have to seek His power.
Amen.
Old Elijah said, "What can I do for you before I'm taken up?" Elisha said, "I want a double portion of that Spirit." And because he wanted it, Elijah said, "I'm going to Gilgal. I'm going to Jordan. I'm going to Bethel." He said, "Tarry here, Elisha." Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth, I ain't letting you out of my sight, buddy. You got something that I once called a double portion of your Spirit. Now I'm going to tell you what will grow us up in God. Son, getting a vision of His power and His glory. That's right. And hey, and staying with God. I'm talking about cleaving to God. Son, just a cleaving to God and refusing such to turn loose until God, my friend, endows us and endues us with His power. Oh, yes, to resist sin. Oh, yes, and to overcome and to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm here to tell you, my friend, you will never be mature until you learn to seek God in your life. Now, my time is gone, but I ain't got to the message yet. I won't be long. The application. Where does God want our life to mature? Stay with me. May I say that He wants us to mature in life in general. Life in general. Somebody said, "Boy, that's not very deep. May get over your head before we're done." Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, "When I was a child, goo goo goo, I spake as a child." Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, don't do that. By the way, I understood as a child. Very little. But when I became a man, I put away, Paul said, childish things. You know what? Hey, he said, when I became a man, my vocabulary changed and my understanding changed. Now, I'm going to have to hurry here. Don't nobody leave me. In life in general, come in the house, children. We need a generation of men that will learn some responsibility. Hey, ladies, relax. I'm on the men's side right now. We need to learn some responsibility.
Amen.
You know the kind of generation we're raising up? I drove by the local hellhole uptown on Main Street where they do body piercing while you wait, tattoos, body piercing while you wait. And you know what I saw outside? I saw about 7 or 8 little old boys and girls standing loafing, Not an ounce of responsibility about them whatsoever. And they'll grow up without responsibility.
Yes.
And they'll grow up on the welfare. And they'll grow up being a detriment to society. And they'll grow up and die and go to hell without God because somebody failed to teach them some responsibility, friends. And teach them how to mature. I'm going to tell you, young men ought to grow up and be responsible enough to learn how to get a job, marry, take care of their families, provide for their home, love their wives, love their children, and be men rather than a bunch of little wimpy kids.
Amen.
When the pressure gets on today, little wimps want to flee. But a man will shoulder the burden and shoulder the problem and stay with it, buddy, when they go, hey, not only in the back of my head, but on both sides. The edges and everywhere else.
That's right.
When you have, I'm talking about growing up in life in general. Simply becoming a man and not a little boy. Big boys' toys. Loafers. Laying on the corner. Irresponsibility. Not responsible to nobody. They're not responsible to mom and daddy. They're not responsible to society. They're not responsible to anything or anybody.
Amen.
Need to learn a little responsibility. They won't work.
Right.
I ain't talking about Brother Ricky. No, I mean that. Brother Ricky worked 12 or 14, 15 years over there. And I'm not talking about him. He's a worker. He's provided for his family. He's got a home and a house and food on the table, and he's provided for them. I'm talking about this crowd, son, that don't want any kind of responsibility. They don't want to learn to work. To them, work is a cuss word. They're worse than Maynard G. Krebs. Work, work! I'm going to tell you, I'm like that black fellow's preaching. Son, around my house, we learned some little four-letter words, too. They got a lot of four-letter words in their vocabulary. We learned some little four-letter words in ours, too. One of them was work. The other one was cook. I'm not talking about teaching your daughter. I'm not talking about teaching your daughter to put a beanie-weenie hot dog supper out of the can or out of a little old pack in a microwave for your husband to eat after he's worked like a dog all day and could eat a whole horse and you want him to live on a hot dog. Somebody said, preacher, I can't do nothing about it. I work too. Quit.
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Irresponsible. They refuse to work and they don't know nothing about deadbeat. Deadbeat dads. Deadbeat dads.
Amen.
Refuse to raise their family and couldn't correct the child. Oh, I don't want to spank this. I'm going to warp his little pride. He better warp his little hind end, friend.
Amen.
Learn responsibility. Learn reality. Life is real. I know this is not sitting well with some. Learn some reality.
Amen.
If I had time, I'd take you to the Bible where God said man's responsibility is to go to work in the morning and return when the sun goes down.
Amen.
Well, I'm not going to make him work. I remember when I was a boy growing up and how rough I had it. I had to pick strawberries for a quarter, half a gallon just to put some food on my mom and dad's table, and I'm not going to do my child that way. Did you turn out too bad? I remember mowing grass at the Scottsburg Cemetery for 75 cents an hour. Brought home, I think, $28.50 a week clear. Sign my payroll check, give it to my mama, and she'd go buy what groceries we could have, what she could buy out of it, and bring me enough back for a little bit to spend on Friday night downtown with the boys, maybe $2 or $3. Somebody said, and kids today, come on now, buddy, I'm telling you, it's a preaching now. Kids today ain't that way. Oh, I'm 16, mommy, buy me a car. You are a fool, sir, ma'am. Go on and buy it for them. Shut them out of the house. There's lots of wolves out there, buddy, that like to grab them up. I'm telling you, it's time we learned that we got a responsibility to our children and our family to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Growing up God's way, folks. Somebody said, how do you know? Been there, done that. There was a time in my life I didn't give a rat tail flip about Miss Hall and about what little bit of a family I had at the time. If I wanted to go out and get drunk, I went. If I wanted to rip off and go to Florida, I went. I had no responsibility if I wanted to take my whole paycheck. After all, I worked for it. Now, it's mine. I can do with it what I want to. Sorry, buckwheat. Got a family now.
Amen.
You don't do with it what you want to. By the way, you women, you don't even do with it what you want to. You take enough responsibility for him to spend it where it ought to be spent. If you make bills, pay your bills. Amen. Put a little back. Tuck a little back for hard times. Be responsible enough to save you a little bit of money when times is rough. Or be like Brother Hall, buy it up in guns. Somebody said, no, preacher, what are you going to do with all them guns? Honey, I got a whole lot of hamburgers laying over there if a push comes to shove. That's right. And they'll sell just as well as diamonds and gold. And there may come a day in America when they'll sell better. Won't charge none for that either. Learn a little reality. Learn some reverence. Heard a boy preaching out, Brother Allen's. I'm going to tell you, busted my hide. Young boy in the Bible school. And he said, I'm sick and tired. People around here calling Brother Allen, Brother Sammy. Said he's old enough to be their grandfather. He's not Brother Sammy to you bunch of kids. He's Brother Allen. To young men my age and your age, he's Brother Allen. That's right. Well, hey, son, hey, teach them kids and the you men alike. Learn a little bit of reverence. Amen. I'm going to tell you one thing that's a burning me up. It's a burning me up. And now, here's Marlon. And now, here's W. What is wrong with now here is our honorable president, Mr. George W. Bush. I'm telling you, friend, the reverence that we got for our elders and places in high esteem would make some of our old forefathers roll over in their grave and puke in the bottom of their casket. I never did call Dr. Crumpton, by the way, brother, James. Dr. Crumpton.
Amen.
And his wasn't one of these doctors that you get, bless your heart, when somebody from a Bible college got about four people in it gives you either.
Right.
Neither was Harold Sotler's.
Amen.
Learn some reverence. Teach your children to call the man of God Pastor Hall.
Yes.
Brother Hall. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Somebody said, preacher, you oughtn't to build up yourself. I'm not. The Bible said that you ought to hold them in esteem, friends. I've got news for you. Like it, lump it, hump it, or bump it. My position in my eyes, and according to the Word of God, is a higher place of esteem in the mind of God than President Bush has got. He was elected by the people, but I was appointed by God.
Yes.
You didn't elect me. Woo! Somebody said, well, he's there by sovereign choice. He's there by the people's choice. I'm here by sovereign choice.
Amen.
Charge you nothing for that.
Amen.
Life in general, mature there. I've got to hurry. My time is gone and overgone. I want to tell you another place you need to mature. Leadership in the home.
Amen.
We ain't done yet. Hey, Daddy. Come on, Dad. Are you the leader of the flock? Somebody said, oh, where do you get that? But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Can I define the word head according to Strong's? It means to lead, to direct, to act as a leader to go in front of, and I've wrote in my notes, to lead you must be out in the front. Daddy, how can you lead your home
when your wife is more mature or more spiritual than you are. You out in the front? Sir? I told you, ladies, all you women in here ought to be on your feet hollering, preach, preacher, preach. Pour it on him. I'm going to tell you, if there's anything that irritates me, is to walk into a place of business and see some little old wimpy man, see some woman strutting along, and some little old wimpy man walking behind her with one of them little old fanny packs on.
Come in, sweetheart.
I have heard men say, listen, I had to give the checkbook to the wife because I wasn't able to take care of the money right. Sir, do you know what kind of an indictment that is on you? That's why some of you struggle financially. Mama's spending your money. God, we're having fun. I said, I wish you'd get back on the cross. You ought to be the leader in spiritual matters. Family altar, when was the last time, Dad, you got your Bible and said, honey, I'm going in here to pray and I expect you to do the same thing. Take your Bible and read it. You think that woman is going to without some leadership? She's not going to, gentlemen. You are her head, and she is not going to until you set the example. Family altar. Faithfulness to the house of God. My wife didn't help a stinking bit back yonder in the cafeteria. That day we had the fellowship meal, and I just about had to beat her to death to get her to bring anything to eat. Sir, did you show up at prayer meeting last night? She is not going to be spiritual, gentlemen. How can a body be spiritual with a carnal head? We have a spiritual head in Christ. Therefore, we can be spiritual in the body. And if being the head of our wife, if we're carnal in the head, expect the whole family to be carnal. Fathering your children. Are we really a father figure? And I'm going to say this. A whole lot today is not the man's fault about that. Because we live in a generation, friend, that it takes a little more time. A lot of stuff is done away from the home. Back when I was a boy, a lot of the work, people made a living on their own little old farm. And they was always there. I won't tell you. I see y'all wanting to go home. Or to lead in secular matters, too. One preacher said, when me and my wife got married, we made a decision that I'd make all the major decisions, she'd make all the minor decisions in our marriage. Said, guess what? There ain't been a major decision made yet. You'll catch that after a while. In other words, Mama made all the decisions. Sir, I love you. Ma'am, I love you. Hey, and if y'all run me off when I'm done for keeping you too long, you'll have to run me off. But I'm telling you that a church can't go forward in maturity. You cannot mature and grow till you get the home right. And get to order. And this one right here is going to drop the bombshell. I think we ought to mature a little bit in our looks in the community. It is a testimony against us or for us how we look. Somebody said, preacher, how you mean? I'm talking about our personal appearance. Do we go out looking like a shaggy dog?
Oh, yeah.
Now, if a man's working, I ain't talking about work clothes. You understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going downtown and being dressed like a heathen. Our personal appearance, our clothes, our hair, our cleanliness. If we're going out in the public, you ought to clean up a little bit. Amen. Put on a decent, if you're a lady, put on some decent clothes. If you're a man, put on some decent clothes. That's right. And I want to add this while I'm right there. Ladies and gentlemen, you better be careful where you're letting your children go out in public without you. And I'm not, hey, I God's laid this on my heart, and I'm not saying it because I know some of you visit the library. I know a kid right there visits the library a lot. And I'm not saying this because of her, but I'm saying it for her. You better hear what I'm saying. My wife read an article, it ain't been 6 months ago, that a little old girl just about her age playing on the internet, and she got visiting the library a whole lot, and mom and daddy wondered why, on heaven's name, she is visiting that library all that time. And that library had little private rooms, little cubicles you could go into and read. And they finally got into her email on that internet, or that email, or whatever it was, and they found out that somebody had been writing her. They thought it was a little 14 or 15-year-old boy writing her. And they had let her go to the library, and she had put on there, he said, I'll meet you at the library at such and such a time. And they hightailed it to the library and got there just in time to open the door. And there's a little 12 or 13-year-old girl standing there with a 60-some-odd-year-old man with his britches already down to his knees. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody said, oh, my girl is 12 or 14 and she's big enough to get out. I'm telling you that there better be some responsibility in our homes and some maturity in our homes to grow up and lead that home the way it ought to be led.
Amen.
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 Clothes, hair, cleanliness, our private property. You know that our automobiles ought to be clean when we drive downtown? We won't have to shovel the junk out of them. Our home, our automobile, I know it's bothering some of you. It's a reflection on our testimony. I want to say we ought to mature in our labors for Christ. I'm getting done now. Labor in love. For God is not righteous, unrighteous to forget our labor of love. Or to labor out of love and not obligation. Labor with expectation of reward. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye not steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, in the Lord. Nehemiah, when he went to build the wall, the Bible said, so we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. He said, some of them defended us, while others worked. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're going to have to defend your family.
Amen.
While you're working and growing at the same time. Or Sanballat is going to get your family. If some of you don't grow up and face reality of life,
Amen.
That it's real. It's not a bubble that we live in, folks. That real things really happen. And I know human nature. It could never happen to me. Oh, yes, it can.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It can happen. And I close with this. In loyalty to the church.
Amen.
I like what Brother Steve Pleasant said over his place one day in a meeting. He said people ought to be able to be loyal to the church that they have saved in. And I want to say to you, you ought to be loyal to the church that you're saved in. Unless it's went liberal. If it's went liberal or you've moved or something of that nature. But we need to be faithful and loyal to this church. Not somebody else's. Not some other preacher or pastor. This church. Maturity. Maturity. I want to say this. Listen carefully. I know this is going to make some of you mad and a wet hornet. But I told Brother Steve Benson and Brother Doug the other day, I was going to give you fellas some advice. I said, I'm a preacher and I know preachers. And I said, you take young preachers in a church, I said, they want to be around the older man of God. If the preachers. Birds of a feather locked together. And if you see these four men in here around me a whole lot, that's a natural thing. That is a natural thing for them. But I'm going to tell you what bothers me, Miss Patty, is when I see preachers that I know come to our church and they never speak to me or my wife. But they always cornered out yonder somewhere with the family of this church. Look here. You can hear what? You can hear me well. You can like it or not. I'm going to tell you what that tells me. They're either trying to proselyte my church members, or they're still a church member themselves.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Preacher, you're..." No, I'm not wrong. I am not wrong.
Amen.
Loyalty to the church. I preached a long time. I don't apologize for it. Let's stand together. Are you mature? Have you grown up? Somebody said, "Preacher, you've been unkind." They said, "No." If I see a rattlesnake crawling around your feet or your family's door, and I just ignore that and say, "My rattlesnake," and one of your children gets bit or you get bit, that's not love. But if I see that rattlesnake and I tell you about it and you avoid it, that's love. If I tell you about it and you ignore it, that's ignorance. That's ignorance. And I'll be honest, the choice is yours. I can't do a thing about it but preach what God tells me to preach and let you take it to the bank with whatever you want to. Father, I thank you for the morning, part of the afternoon. Thank you for your people. I pray, oh God, you'll work. I've done my best. I know I've preached a long time, but I've done my best, Lord. I've tried to obey you. And I realize that I don't have the capability of changing anything or anybody. I pray, oh God, that you'll forgive sin, heal diseases, cleanse lepers, and work deeply in the hearts of people. I fear, Lord, that some are on the very threshold of grave mistakes. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 286.
96, I'm sorry. God spoke into your heart while these are praying this morning.
Are you mature? I want you to listen now. Some of you ain't been on the tree long enough to mature. You ain't going to be everywhere I tried to put you this morning. God, help me to be there, Brother Doug. If I'm not there, I've got problems in my life. I have got to be there. I've got to be. And I preach to me long before I preach to you. Take my word for it. Let's sing.